Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Chapter 7, the great book of Joshua. What is Joshua pertaining to here? It's pertaining to entering the promised land. And it is a type of how we'll enter the promised land going into the millennium. You'll have many types. If you want to know what's going to happen, how it's going down, picture Joshua. You'll find out. Now, our Heavenly Father appeared with a huge sword in His hand as the angel of the Lord and instructed Joshua on how to take Jericho. And Joshua and the children of Israel took Jericho by following to the letter the way God instructed them. But the next day they get to feeling pretty brave and they go up to Ai and they got a thumping. Why? Because number one, they didn't consult God. And number two, one of God's main instructions were do not partake of the accursed thing. That means false religions. Don't you dare pick up any of that false religion and bring it into my camp. Well, old Achan had. He brought in a Babylonian mantle robe, priest robe, and some silver and other precious things that were supposed to go into the treasure of God. He robbed from God. And God is unhappy with the whole bunch. Well, when they got the thumping up on Ai, which means a heap, okay, the name of this particular place, when they got this thumping, Joshua fell down. He said, Lord, if we look this weak before the Canaanites, they're going to kill us. And God told him, said, you get up from there. And he was wailing and moaning and groaning and grieving. And God told him in verse 10, he said, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? You get up and look like a man and act like a man. God had chosen him as a man. And then God told him, said, Israel is sinned. You've stolen from me. You've disobeyed my command. That's why you ran. That's why they got thumped real good. And God continues talking with him in verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel, as we ask that word of wisdom from our Father, chapter 7, verse 12, let's go with it. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. A lot of people wonder, why will God listen to me? Why won't God have anything to do with me? But what are you doing? You can't have false religions. You can't. God hates that. Oh, He hates it with a passion. When you listen to some other religion other than the letter that He sent you, telling you how to behave, how to act, how to react, how to interact. And it's pretty complete. It's simple enough a child can understand it if you just let God's word flow. But here, we've got one, and of all things, it'll be one of the king line out of the tribe of Judah that has robbed God. When God specifically said, do not partake of the accursed thing. And as you know, I'm through with you. Until you clean it up. Now, God knew who the man was. He didn't have any trouble with that. Why didn't God just go ahead and zap him and clean it up himself? Because He expects us to clean up our own mess. That's important. He expects you to clean the own mess up in your life. He'll help you, but you've got to clean it up. You've got to get your mind straight. That's what he says. You destroyed that, except you destroy that accursed thing from among you. You get rid of it. Verse 13, up and sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Get rid of it. Now, you know, a lot of people's lives go to pot. I don't know. Are you listening to God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse? or are you listening to the traditions of men? Verse 14, in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. You line them out, little order here, discipline. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. Now, you should be beginning to discern by this time, who's doing this? God is. How many times have you heard me say God is the judge? This is judgment. And this is a type of judgment. It's a type of the great white throne judgment, even if you will. And you want to really pay heed. You can wait one day too late. Verse 15, God continues, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. The whole family knew it. He pranced around saying, don't I look good with this false religion? I've got a Shinar mantle on my self. And look at the money the family's got here. Now, it all belonged to God. Okay, the whole family knew it. Now, after the great white throne judgment, what happens to the people that don't cut it? They don't make it. What happens to the people, Revelation chapter 20, at judgment day, when God has to pass on them, that means turn them down, where do they go? Into the lake of fire. They're going to burn. So this is God's judgment giving you a type of what it's going to be like. And also, just as they did in the wilderness, you can wait one day too late. There is such a thing. Our Father has lots of patience. But there comes that time when He judges, somebody's going to burn. Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. God knew which tribe it was in. 17. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Ooh, there you go. There's old Achan's dad getting pretty close here. 18. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, that's to say the vine dresser, had been doing something besides dressing vines, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, that's to say the east, the rising of the sun, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. God knew where they were. He singled them out. 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, and of course Achan, as you well know, means trouble. And boy, as Achan has brought trouble in the camp, he's caused the cursed thing to come down on them, a curse from God himself, and disobeying God. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. He repent. It won't do him any good to repent on judgment day. He's already going to burn. Verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. He laid it out. I mean, he's caught. 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, that's to say a mantle of Shinar. Oh, it looked good. A priest robe made me look so religious. Sounded religious. And 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. I mean, that's a pretty good sized little chunk. Family's got it made. Then I coveted them. they belong to God. And God didn't want that Babylonian Shinar robe in his camp. And took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Do you know what it is? It won't be named again. You've got to be sharp enough to catch it. It means the robe, the garb, the garment. It's all hid under it. And, you know, if you bring, you got to remember, God likens idolatry and adultery together so that a human being can get a chance to feel the emotion of God at how, if someone commits adultery against you, you understand how God feels when somebody commits idolatry, that's to say a Babylonian garment, and is untrue to him. He doesn't like it. And, hey, it's judgment day. God, Almighty God Himself, has already passed judgment on whoever the guilty party is. 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it, it being that old Shinar garment, preacher's robe, fake preacher, false preacher. 23, and they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. I mean, it's too late now, Charlie. I mean, he was guilty as could be. The Lord nailed him. Verse 24, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, that's old trouble, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. It's a valley of trouble. They named it after him. Boy, is he in trouble. God's already judged him. Verse 25, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Question. The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day, the Valley of Trouble. He brought that trouble on himself. Now many are going to say, why would God do that to the whole family? Because they all participated. That's why it's important. You want to be careful that you don't mislead your family. The family had it made. We got gold, we got silver, and we got a head man that wears the pretty robe. Even though it was against the orders of God, and God giving a specific order, anyone could understand it, do not partake of the accursed thing. That's false religion. And how many people today partake of false religion? Thank goodness, through Christ, we have forgiveness. Because this family waited one day too late. It was judgment day. It won't do you any good to wait until the end of the millennium on judgment day to repent. And quite frankly, there's always that time in your life, if it's your last day, that you waited one day too long, perhaps, if you're not careful. There is such a thing as just waiting too long. Bad enough that you disobey God to start with, that you can't accept His love letter that He sent to you explaining exactly how He wants you to act and interact with Him. That God Himself would have to judge in this way to set an example so that you could learn from it today. Old Achan really messed up, but learn from Achan's trouble. That's why they called him trouble. He was trouble. So that you don't have trouble yourself. Do it God's way. Many of you are going to go through that valley of Achor. That's the valley of trouble. But I promise you, and God has promised you, you're going through. You will always go through as long as you'll follow the commandments of God. Why? Well, He loves you. Well, did He love Achor? He didn't love what Achor did. And there must be ramifications. I mean, Achor was doing this and he brought it upon the whole house of Israel. Just so he could have a little bit of good feeling with the Babylonian robe and look what I've discovered, new false teaching. Whoa, something new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. Have you ever read the first chapter of the great book of Ecclesiastes? There is nothing new under the sun. That comes around, goes around, comes around again. People have never changed. Flesh bodies are flesh bodies. As long as you're in the flesh, what affects the flesh will affect you. Nothing new under the sun. So you want to be very careful and learn from mistakes set forth by our Heavenly Father in this letter He's written us, that it doesn't happen to you. So there you have it. Chapter 8, verse 1, and it reads, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." Don't be discouraged. "Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land." Now, is Joshua going to take Ai? No, God gave it to him. And God is going to give him exact instructions on how to take the city. There'll be some covert activity going on here. You mean our father planned some covert activity? He's sharp at it. Okay. He knows. Listen to it. Verse 2. "And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shalt ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it." You send some men up, you let them go by night, and you circle out around the city, and you have them lay in wait there outside of the city, there behind it. In other words, it's an ambush. This is God laying out the plan of attack. There's three. "So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night." In other words, this divine covert action applied directly to the order of God. "And he commanded them, saying, Behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready." You be charged, you have your weapons ready, and you be ready to ambush. Verse 5, "And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them." We're going to take the HO route. That's the haul out, okay? We're going to be moving and making tracks, all right? And they're going to think we're running again. And when we run, they're going to come after us. Verse 6. "For they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, They flee before us, as at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them." In other words, we're going after them. We're going to fix their wagon this time. Verse 7. "Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand." Who's going to deliver it? The Lord our God. When you follow His command, you're always going to be a winner. Isn't it amazing how some people wonder around in their lifetime, what's going wrong? What am I doing wrong? Well, follow God's plan. Do it God's way. Don't be stubborn. Don't be stiff-necked. Listen to Him. Do it His way. And be blessed. You have a choice of being blessed or not blessed. And quite frankly, being not blessed is not really a curse, but it's the next thing to it. You're like a ship wandering around in the dark with no compass. Let's go with the next verse, verse 8. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. We're going to do it by the book. We're going to do it the way God said. Now, they had the privilege of taking cattle and replacing any valuables they could find, they could take as a prey unto themselves this time, and not have to put it in the treasure of God other than that portion. Verse 9. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai. Bethel is the house of God. Okay. Ai is a heap. On the west side of Ai, but Joshua lodged that night among the people. He stayed with them. He's going to lead the charge that's going to run. Okay. Verse 10. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. Now, we got a whole different thing in, of command in this time. We've got rid of the accursed thing. We have listened to the Heavenly Father. He has given us the plan of the day, and we're following it to the letter. So, you can know assuredly before we even cover it, they're going to be successful. Why? They're doing it God's way. Verse 11. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. There they are. Okay. 12. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. I want you to see the covert action here. We have this city surrounded all the way, basically. In other words, when they come out to chase the ones running, these men will move in from all sides, take the city, cut them off, and destroy the rest, just like God commanded them. Verse 13. And next verse, please, 13. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liars in wait on the west side of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. He's spying it out, checking it out. 14. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, he's observing it, and they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle. He and all his people, how many? You got to catch this now. Did he leave anyone in ambush? No. All the people at the time appointed before the plain. But he was not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. He didn't know it was a trap. He hadn't seen that. I'm sure Joshua was making enough fuss down in the valley that he had their attention held down there pretty good. Keeping them occupied. Watch down here. We're going to attack you. And inasmuch as they had run the day before, I'm sure the hearts of Ai's king and the people said, we're going to thump their gourd again. They were so easy to take. They don't know what they're walking into. They're walking into the hand of God this time. 15. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. I mean, they were running like a bunch of rabbits. They were hauling out. And here are the men of war said, we've done it again. Let's get them, boys. All the people, they're charging after them. 16, and all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. I mean, it's defenseless. It's wide open. This covert action, I mean, that was trickery, real trickery. Whose plan was it? You better know. It was God's plan. Covert action against the enemy is fantastic. It's all right. It's just like in this modern day, we have a CIA. They have to deal in covert activity. And people that love our country know and understand that. It has the marking of the approval of Almighty God. But you would have a few peaceniks that would be a little squeamish about doing God's business. Covert activity against the enemy is fantastic. Verse 17. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. They left the city open and pursued after Israel. They all wanted to get in on the action. Boy, are they gonna get in on the action, all right. So here they are. They're moving out. Lock, stock, and barrel. Okay. You have to know, you know, all military people know how sorry this commander was, okay? I mean, he was had coming out the gate, okay? It was a real setup for him. 18, and the Lord said unto Joshua, still giving orders, okay, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. That was the sign. That meant charge. Okay. And the sword of the Lord was lifted. And you got to remember how powerful and the real sword of the Lord is His Word to guide your life, to strengthen you, to show you the way through the wilderness when you get lost and when you get out of the way and when you're frightened. The Word will, the sword of the Lord, which is the Word. You want documentation on that? It's Revelation chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. The sword of the Lord is Christ's tongue, the two-edged sword. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. It strengthens you, enables you. It makes you a winner. And you're going to find out how these win. Why? They're doing it God's way. Verse 19. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. I mean, they cleaned it out and burned it. I mean, it was real easy. God gave it to them through trickery. They were all gone, going to get in on the action. They just missed the action. But they'll still have enough to go around. Verse 20. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, uh-oh, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. They were surrounded. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. Okay. Those that were running turned around, and now they're charging along with the rest of them, coming in from all sides. 21. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. They took care of business. They did it God's way. 22. And the other issued out of the city against them, so they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. That's God's way, okay? God gave the order, God gave the command. 23. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. Well, we'll let him stay alive a little while, okay? And verse 24, and it came to pass when Israel had made an end to slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. In other words, whatever was left, it was theirs. And they were following. I want you to know that we have three cities basically afforded with this in the last couple of three chapters. Bethaven, Bethel, and Ai. Okay. Ai means a heap or ruin. Bethaven means the house of nothing. The house of ill repute. The house of false teachings. The house of misguided children. And Bethel is the house of God. El. Beth house, El God. Bethel. And the house of God reigns supreme always. Why? Because that's where His word is taught. That's how you can distinguish a house of God. If God's word is taught there chapter by chapter and verse by verse, it is God's word that is being taught, then it is God's house. If somebody else's traditions are being taught, then it doesn't take a very bright person to say, that's traditions of men. Usually going by the law of precedent. That is to say, not what God says, but what this good man says or what that good man says. Never quite reaching the real word of God to see what saith the Lord God Almighty. One more verse to finish this. Let's call up the next verse, please. 25. Well, and so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. And so it was. And do you know something? The interesting thing is this town, this place today is still called Tel, T-E-L-L. Do you know what Tel means? It means ruin or heap. Same word as Ai, different language. So it carries that name to this day. Our Father is in control, whether you like it or not. You can have many people rise up and say, I'll be an atheist. That's fine. That doesn't change the fact that God is our commander-in-chief. That doesn't change the fact that it's going down exactly the way it's written. And if they want to participate in that day of judgment, as you saw the example of it today, you know what the outcome was. Achan burned. Not only did Achan burn, but his whole family that participated in those false teachings, that false robe, those false treasures trying to deceive God. You can't con God. God, how when God knows what you're even thinking, you don't even have to say it out loud, do you think you can put something over on God? You can't. And to make all this so wonderful is the fact that He loves you. You're His child. He's hurt when you disappoint Him. So don't be disappointing Him. Take His word, hold it to you, live it, and you'll be one happy person. All right, hey, don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your hearts. Listen a moment, won't you please?